Hey, welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I am your co-host, Chris. As always, I am joined by my brother and co-host, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing? It's been a little while.
It has been a little bit. We have been out of commission for a little while. And I was saying, we were kind of discussing what movie we could talk about, and we haven't really watched the same movie for months. So we have done a really bad job of getting together to talk about them. So we're going to work on that. But in the meantime, we're going to do a couple episodes sort of talking about the big Marvel announcements that came out of this past week's 2022 San Diego Comic-Con. Marvel did some big announcements about what their next, what the future holds for them. So we thought we would talk today about sort of a recap of what has now been determined to be phase four of the MCU. And then next week, we'll talk a little bit about what's coming in phases five and six of what has come to be known apparently as the multiverse saga. Any thoughts about them naming it the multiverse saga? Are you good with that? Are you not okay with that? Are we gonna riot in the streets?
No. I mean, you and I have talked a little bit about just what they're doing with the multiverse. Is it fun? Is it cool? I mean, I remember when I saw the preview for Spider-Man No Way Home. Is that the newest one?
Yes.
Spider-Man right. Something with Home. And seeing Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. And I was just like, yes, I am so on board for this. This is such a cool idea. And I still think it is an interesting kind of fun thing, especially watching that movie for the second time. But you brought up the very good problem, and that is, well, it's kind of a bummer that we don't get a new Doc Ock. We don't get a different actor doing it, because honestly, if we weren't recasting the Joker, we would never have gotten Heath Ledger.
Right.
We also never would have gotten Jared Leto. But
yeah, it's a real double-edged sword.
But we got so many great different actors playing the Joker over the last, 60 years or so, that that it is kind of nice when they recast roles. So when we have these sort of iconic characters being played by the same person again, it's there's good sides and downsides to that.
Yeah, it's fun for the nostalgia factor, but you do definitely lose something, especially because I think a few exemptions, the MCU has done that's kind of a fantastic job of casting, particularly sort of out of the usual casting, that things that people you wouldn't think would fit very well into it, and they've knocked it out of the park most of the time. So it's a bummer to see that, because all along I thought maybe they're going to make the next big villain Norman Osborn. Like, they could have done a great thing where he crossed through different movies and had a lot of different appearances, but then they were just like, nah, we'll just bring back Willem Dafoe. And he was awesome. He was so great. It was fun to see him, and his performance was fantastic, but there was still something missing there. And then obviously I've complained a lot about the fact that there's just no consistency to it. Is it in Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch played multiple different versions of Doctor Strange, but in Spider-Man, we had Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield show up. So, I mean, are they going to have one actor playing the different variants? Are they all different variants? There's no sense of what it is supposed to be. And that's fine. I mean, it doesn't, I seem to be the only one in the world bothered by this, but
no, I'm sure you're not. I know what you're saying. And obviously Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire being brought in, and all the other actors from, I mean, you get Thomas Hayden Church in there, people are creaming their pants.
Putting asses in the seats.
Like, there's definitely some pandering and fan service there And as opposed to being like, oh, there's three different Tom Hollands here. But
yeah,
I mean, in Loki, there were several different Lokis that looked like him. And then there were, I mean, spoilers for Loki, but there was Lady Loki. There was Alligator Loki. There was Richard Grant Loki. Like, there were all these different versions that I think it's just, I'm kind of wondering if Kevin Feige and the people at Marvel are thinking, okay, we're getting down into the lower tiers of some of these characters, or even just lesser known characters. And I don't know if they're sort of planning ahead for the future of, okay, how can we keep this same franchise going within the same, at this point, universes, and keeping it all canon without completely starting over? Like, 20 years from now, can we have a different universe Tony Stark?
Yeah.
Recast as somebody completely different. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do, is kind of open it up to that, especially because all of these actors are getting older and going to sign on to different movies and not be able to do these things. And obviously, and they're going to want to keep this. I mean, this, more than any other franchise, I think, is one that's like, we can just do this forever.
Yeah. Like,
there's no end to this, because that's what the comics have done for decades.
Right. And I think with what we're going to talk about next week, which is sort of how they're taking this for the next 2 or 3 years, I think there's a very specific endpoint on that to what you're talking about. So,
yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more. So next week.
Upsides and downsides.
Sure. Well, let's talk quickly about sort of what we thought of Phase 4. Phase 4 started technically with the Black Widow movie that came out in 2021 and has included everything since then and up through She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which I don't think they needed that subtitle. And Black Panther Wakanda Forever are going to cap this thing off.
I don't know how you would know which She-Hulk they were talking about, though.
You got to be some kind of She-Hulk to get this thing off. So let's just, as a general just overview, what do you think of Phase 4?
I'm looking over the list of movies at the moment and shows. And it is real hit and miss.
Yeah.
So I will say I have not seen Thor: Love and Thunder. You have.
Okay. I have.
And as of this recording, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever and She-Hulk, it's the Attorney at Law one that I'm talking about here. have not been released. So
it's not She-Hulk mail carrier.
Yeah. So I guess we haven't wrapped this up, but I think the new Black Panther will be maybe the final thing.
Yes.
And overall, it's been real hit or miss. There's been a few of the movies that I really liked. I like Shang-Chi. I liked I rewatched Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and liked it even more. WandaVision and Loki and Hawkeye, and Miss Marvel, actually.
Yeah.
I liked for the most part, to varying degrees. But some of the stuff, I mean, the Eternals was goddamn boring.
It really was.
I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I think that it was handicapped from the beginning for a couple of reasons. One was obviously COVID hit and it just really screwed things up. I mean, they were rolling pretty hard and then it ground everything to a halt. And so, I mean, they lost a little momentum and I think production suffered on a lot of things because of that. And I think coming after the double punch of Infinity War and Endgame, there's nothing that was ever going to live up to that.
Yeah.
So I think that they were smart to do what they did, which was to dial it back a little bit and try and get some more personal stories and some a bigger variation of characters. Yeah. And so I think it was just sort of a no-win situation for them, where it wasn't going to ever live up to the hype of what people wanted it to. But at the same time, it really feels like they did throw in the towel on a couple of them. I mean, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is almost unwatchable. And
I think the first two or three episodes are really good. I think Anthony Mackie, especially being sort of, mm-hmm. I feel even more than Sebastian Stan, I feel like is the focus of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a charismatic, funny. We're good. We can pause.
I'll pause for a sec. Sorry, Rob.
No, you're good.
What? You guys can just get a knife out and cut it up. Okay. Or do you want to eat it in the morning?
That's okay. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Thanks for interrupting for that. Bye.
Hi, Julia.
Julia, Rob says hi. She's giving me the finger. Bye. Jesus, sorry.
what was it?
Well, we bought this weird fruit at H Mart, and she came up to see if I would cut the fruit up for them. I'm like, Jesus, you know what I'm doing. All right.
Your kids are going to have such an odd little insight into Asian culture. I feel.
Yeah. Like, so
weird. She's going to get to college, and she's going to be like, how do you guys feel about this fruit or this food?
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
The fuck is that?
Oh, so. we had that all the time.
All right. I'm sorry. You were saying pick up.
Oh, Anthony Mackie. Anthony Mackie, I feel like, is such a charismatic
mm-hmm.
actor, and he's funny and he's interesting. And there's a few things in those first few episodes that are much more grounded and interesting.
Yeah, it was real promising.
Yeah, like his relationship with his sister and them. I can't remember. Is it like their? It's been a while since I've seen it. Their houseboat or something.
Yeah, they have a boat. I think it's. I don't want to say a shrimping boat because that was Forrest Gump. But I think it was like a fishing boat.
Yeah,
and that was sort of their family business, and they were having trouble. They were running into problems getting it paid for. And so, I mean, it had some interesting ideas.
It was like real social issues, but they also smartly tied it into what had happened in Infinity mm-hmm. War and Endgame and people being gone for 5 years. And then it just went downhill from there. The action was a little bit lousy. It got confusing. I feel like the show itself was confused.
They went
clubbing with Zemo. It was real weird.
It was weird. I mean, they made bad, what I would say are bad character choices with Sharon Carter. And everything with the villain was just so terrible.
It wasn't good.
And it culminated with him giving this weird lecture to a senator wearing that kind of goofy new suit. That whole scene was brutal. And it sucked because I do like Anthony Mackie, and I like that they're doing something with him. And I hope that, I know they're giving him his own movie, and I hope they square it away and they get rid of whoever wrote that show and do something better. But I think that's one of the hallmarks of this phase has been the addition of the television shows. Mm-hmm. And again, it has given us some more flexibility to do different things. And and like you said, some of them were great. I thought WandaVision was remarkable. Mm-hmm. I thought Loki was fun. I thought Moon Knight was at least weird and different.
Yeah.
And I thought Ms. Marvel was charming and just absolutely delightful. But none of them, save maybe WandaVision, really felt that substantial in their storytelling. I mean, they just seemed like they got some second-tier writers and directors and asked them to throw something together. And that's kind of what a lot of them felt like to me.
I feel like at least Hawkeye in bringing in, I mean, goddamn, I've already forgotten the character's name, but Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop, mm-hmm. bringing in her character, and then Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight and Miss Marvel. Mm-hmm. I feel like a huge part of those shows were just introducing us to these characters that are
yeah. going
to have a bigger role later, which I think is forgivable in that. That's what the initial movies started doing, like
yeah,
and it's just that it drags them out into six episodes, you know.
Right. But even those early movies, Thor, which wasn't that great, and Captain America, the First Avenger, which was had, you know, mixed in parts, they still felt like cinematic events.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the stuff. Again, I think these would be, if they streamlined them a little bit, when you're talking about those six episodes, there were episodes in, or even section, large chunks of episodes in, say, Hawkeye, that they really could have done without. Like everything with the LARPers, that they made friends with these live action role players in the park. And it got woven into the story so much and had nothing. Like if you just excise that entire storyline, it would have cut about three episodes out, it felt like. And it would have been, I just feel like we would have got a better sense. It's almost like they're padding these out to make them TV shows.
Yeah.
Where you could get a nice, fun 2-hour movie out of it. And cut out some of the lesser action scenes and some of the characters you don't need and have that kind of impact. I almost would be more apt to pay for Disney Plus if they gave us, even if it was a made for Disney Plus 2.5-hour movie
yeah.
about Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, and they really made it focused and cut out the fluff. I would find that to be a lot more fun than slogging through three extra episodes of stuff that we don't need.
I feel like I'm the same way. I would mm-hmm. rather just see a movie, even if it were a made for TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about selling Disney Plus subscription
yeah.
and keeping people roped in for a longer period of time. You bring up a good point with the TV shows, that obviously TV shows are inherently less big and cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with the Star Wars shows.
Yes.
Especially like Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. God damn. Mandalorian has some kind of bigger stuff, but I think it's because it's kind of earned its stripes.
Yeah.
But even that, you know, it feels like a kind of big budget TV show. It feels like a Game of Thrones where, you know, there's some cool action and stuff, but overall you're not getting, you know, Iron Man or the Avengers or Return of the Jedi. It's interesting. It is.
And I've struggled to understand the hows and whys of it, really, because I feel like, this is Disney and this is Marvel, and you bring up Game of Thrones, and obviously Game of Thrones, they were famous for pumping $1 million plus into every episode or whatever the heck they were paying to make them. And they were big. And even if it was a lesser episode, like there was, you know, I mean, it was just cinematic. And with some of these, you just think, God, they had a little car chase in this, and it could have been a car chase that you saw on NCIS. like why, what make, do something to make this stand out. I know you're trying to sell your platform and do it on a shoestring budget, but I mean, this is your big showcase. I don't know.
I feel like Loki, more than any of the shows, had
yes
sort of a look and a vision and a bigness to it.
Okay, yep, I agree.
WandaVision was a smaller scale, certainly, but it had a look to it and something it was doing. And so maybe we got a little spoiled with like, oh, we had WandaVision and Loki, and those were interesting. And then it was sort of kind of lesser returns to certain degrees. Yeah. Like you said, Miss Marvel, I think the main actress is so funny and charming, and it reminded me a lot of the new Spider-Man movies, where it's like a kid in high school, and it feels like a kid in high school who's thrown into a crazy situation, dealing with new powers and stuff. But anyway, yeah, TV definitely been an odd addition to it.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about what She-Hulk might be.
I'm hoping for the best. I don't have high hopes, but
yeah, it looks kind of fun. But I know they're trying to make it sort of a comedy.
Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like just a straight up comedy. But then they do. I don't know if you saw the trailer that came out of Comic-Con, where they do a fourth wall breaking moment where she and Hulk are like looking at the camera. I was like, oh shit, what is this?
That's not great.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I really like her as an actress. She's a delight. And it's got a lot of good people in it. So I hope it'll be something.
Yeah. Fine with these movies being funny, even like the bigger, crazier CGI filled ones like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
There's so much funny stuff in that movie.
Like, yeah.
That's such an enjoyable movie.
Right. And I'm totally fine with them basically taking that Marvel concept and making it into a TV show with some bigger laughs.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you suddenly make her into Deadpool, where she's like talking to the camera.
Yeah.
No. Giving a little wink. I really liked Shang-Chi. I thought that was maybe of all the movies, one of the better ones. And I like Doctor Strange. I like Spider-Man, even though I complain a lot about some of those concepts. It was fun. I know you haven't seen Thor yet, and that's really got some mixed reception from people, but I also think it's one of those things where people said, we loved everything that Taika Waititi did with Ragnarok, give us more of that. And so they gave you more of that, and now they're complaining about it. Mm-hmm. Because when you see it, you're just like, this is just silly Taika Waititi nonsense, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, it's super fun, in my opinion. Eternals is a conundrum for me, because I liked it way better than I thought I would, but at the same time, I hated it way more than I thought I would. I don't even know how to explain that, but
I don't know what that means.
Like, I felt like the things that they did well, I was surprised that I liked the things that they did well, I liked way better than I expected to. And I liked the movie as a whole better than I thought I would.
Okay.
But I thought the problems with it were so glaring that it kind of balanced it out that way. I don't know. It just felt a little like, I guess the things that I thought were going to be bad were worse, and the things I thought were going to be good were better. So I was real mixed on it. But there was that part where the guy drops the pie, and Rob and I have talked about this. There's this just horrible moment.
Here's the thing, is that nobody who like has even seen that movie remembers, like, knows what we're talking about.
No,
and you and I have talked about this pie that sadly slides down and lands on the ground.
Just ad nauseum. Well, if you haven't, or if you have seen it, I guess, even, because you probably don't remember, they go to meet one of the guys. He's the chubby Asian guy who is friends with Angelina Jolie, or maybe in love with her. I'd never understood their relationship. And he's real excited because he's got this outdoor like fire pit oven, and he's cooked them this gigantic pie. he takes it out of the oven and he's so excited to show him the pie. And then they give him the news that like one of his great friends has died. And he just like slowly drops the pie on the ground. It's the weirdest reaction I've ever seen in a movie.
I just love the things that you pick up on. I love talking to you after you see a movie, and the things you hone in on are so strange.
Well, that one was just bizarre because, as I was telling you, it was like I felt like the director was like, okay, you're totally crushed. Like someone that you love and was so important in your life, you just heard that they passed away. And let's have a pie pratfall in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know who made this decision, but it is bananas.
It's, if you were to ask me anything about the Eternals, I would be able to say Kumail Nanjiani was in it.
Yep.
And there were some other people. There were some big robot things.
Yeah.
There was some half-ass explanation about why they didn't help out with Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, I don't remember a goddamn thing about that movie.
Yeah,
it was very boring to me.
It was not great. I don't know anything about the characters. They had, again, just bananas choices. Like, Kumail Nanjiani, who was kind of the most charismatic one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They got to the big finale and decided to just excise him from the plot for absolutely no reason. No, they just decided that he wasn't going to fight with them, took off. And then in the end, he's there palling around with them like everything was okay. Like he didn't just abandon all of them. There was stuff like that was just, it made no sense. And there was, I mean, I know it's been talked about a lot, the very strange sex scene that comes in the middle of the movie, which, again, that's fine. I understand. Everybody defended that at the time and said, well, these people have lives and they are sexual beings and these things happen. But as I watched it, I was glad I was watching it by myself. Because, you know,
so you could masturbate.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. But I really thought that I'm glad my kids aren't sitting here watching this with me, because it drug on for a while, and it wasn't graphic. There wasn't nudity, but it was enough that I was like, this is unpleasant. Like if you were a parent sitting there watching it with a 10-year-old kid, it was weird.
I don't remember. Is it Jon Snow or,
No,
Jon Snow, Rob Stark.
Rob Stark and the girl who's sort of the main Asian woman whose name I can't remember. She was also in Captain Marvel as a different character.
What? Really?
Yeah, she was one of the. I think she had blue skin and.
Oh, you're right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think she was bad in it. I don't know. And she was
naughty.
She was naughty and also not great. No, and she was fine in this movie. There's nobody that I could point to and say, God, this person was just unpleasant.
No.
They were all okay, but that's all they were, was okay. There was a little girl who I was certain was a little boy for a while. So oh,
it was a little boy.
I think it was a girl, wasn't it?
The no, you're
sprite
right, right.
Or what? I just the first scene that she's in, they're in a bar for some reason, and I was convinced that this was a boy, and then she was, I don't know, there was something about it that I was like, wait a minute, is this a girl? Like it was rough, and her relationship with Rob Stark was weird, and Rob Stark was weird. Everything about it was bizarre. So I don't know.
And we know that his real name is not Rob Stark.
Yes. Yeah, we know.
Jon Snow is Kit Harington. I can't think of Rob Stark's real name.
I can't either. But that's the thing with the trouble that they're going to run into at
Richard
this point.
Madden.
There it is. Richard Madden. They're so locked into what they're doing in the future with these movies. that, for example, there, again, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Eternals and you don't want to know what happens in the post-credits scene, I guess close your ears for a few seconds. But there's a part where Jon Snow's character talks to somebody who's off screen, and we now know that the off screen voice was Blade. And so,
oh, we do?
That, oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Spoiler alert, Rob, that was Blade. And we got a Blade movie coming. And so then the question will be, okay, are they just going to scrap the Eternals and not continue with what they're doing? Or are they going to bring Jon Snow back with Blade? And if they're going to do that, are they going to continue the story of the other post-credits scene where a giant celestial appeared above the earth and snatched a couple of them away? I mean, there's just, they set these things up. And then if the movie sucks the way the Eternal did, then do they just scrap all those storylines? It kind of creates a tough spot for them to be in.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Bringing up Blade.
Yeah.
I know is in a future phase.
Yeah.
That's an example of recasting where obviously Wesley Snipes is quite a bit older. I don't know, 20, 25 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he was in this, although obviously with some of the Spider-Man No Way Home characters, they de-aged them, but I feel like the recasting as Marshala Ali is how I'm going to pronounce his name.
Yep.
Who I think is an awesome actor and a really good choice for that role. Like that's something where it's like, yeah, that's all the more reason for them to be able to recast, because they are so good at casting these sorts of things. Before we finish up, and I don't have a whole bunch more to say, but did you see the new Black Panther preview?
I did. It's okay. Really emotional and awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. And if the actual movie feels like how the trailer feels, they've pulled something off that I did not think they would be able to, especially given the death of Chadwick Boseman, which is crazy, given how huge he was, not just in the Black Panther, the first movie, but just the overall MCU.
My only concern, I have concerns. You're concerned that they're going to take it in a weird direction and people are going to revolt against it, because obviously it's going to be more female centric just because of the characters that seem to be heading it up.
Yeah.
And I'm already tired of hearing the assholes of the world talk about how woke it is. And if it wasn't enough that they were racist, now they're going to throw in sexism on top of it. And, and I'm already sick of these fucking assholes, but I'm going to support it for that reason in the face of all of it. But I worry about how people are going to react to that. But the thing that got me a little bit with the trailer, I was very, kind of emotional about it just watching it. I hope that they're not going to sell this strictly on nostalgia for him and what happened to him, because it feels a little like they're walking a fine line between showing respect to him and showing how important he was to everybody and trying to make a buck off of his death.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I think that it would be very easy to veer into that territory. I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't think they're using this as a way to sell the movie. But it was enough in that trailer that I was like, oh, I hope that this is kind of what they do in the trailer and they show proper respect in the movie. But then maybe the next trailer gives us more of like, this is what the story is about, and veers away from that, because it could get a little gratuitous if they're not careful. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And we were, surprisingly, we got a text from old buddy Matt tonight.
Okay.
He was watching Furious 7.
Yeah.
which is sadly the movie that Paul Walker died halfway through making the movie. And so they were in this situation where it's like, well, how do we honor him? How do we work this into the story? And honestly, having seen that movie, they, I think, did the best they could. And they certainly weren't trying to make a buck off the guy. But I didn't take the Black Panther preview that way. There's the shot of the kind of mural of T'Challa up on like the side of a building. But outside of that, I feel like there wasn't too much focus in on him. There was a lot of Angela Bassett. There was a lot.
I think it was more the music and just the general sense of it, but
But I don't know. I feel like I have high hopes for it. I didn't feel like there was too much of a focus on him.
Me too. All right. We better wrap it up. If anybody's looking for us online, where can they do that?
We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Two Geeks Movies. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, in Spotify, and Podomatic.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week on Two Geeks at the Movies.
Bye, guys.
Bye.